20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is time for some Packers football. It is the day before the Green Bay Packers take on the Minnesota Vikings in week one of the 2020 NFL season. We made it. We're here. There will be Packers football. They are in Minnesota. The game will take place. I am Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Pulse of the Pack, Quick Slants Podcast, and Game On Wisconsin, along with my usual Saturday co-host, Mark Eckel. No Paul this week, but Mark is with us. Mark, how are we looking over on the East Coast?
Well, good. weather-wise, a little bit of a overcast, cloudy week. I didn't get to the beach much, but, every day isn't a day at the beach, I guess, right? So, yeah. But we're warm. We're not as warm as you, but we're still, our temperatures are still up there.
Well, actually,
you've come down a little bit, right?
We did. We came down under 100. I mean, that's not cold by any means. But yeah,
break out the winter coats, right?
Yeah, we came down under 100, and it's right now Friday evening. I'm 3 hours behind you, so it's 5:30 here, and it's around 90 degrees, which is a huge heat break. We've had a really hot summer here. A lot of days over 110.
Wow.
And say what you will about it being dry, that doesn't make it's any still, difference when it's 100 and 110 degrees. So, yeah, not the ideal. But things are looking good right now, and hopefully they're only going to get better. So now that we're back into the regular season mode, we're going to be doing the injury update every Saturday ahead of the games that'll take place on Sunday or Monday. And then for Thursday night football, that's going to be interesting. I guess we'll be a recap show for those.
Sure.
For that game. But this is an interesting week because the injury report came out, the last report came out on Friday, and it was pretty light for the Green Bay Packers. Not too many names on it. The Minnesota Vikings injury report was blank. It had nobody on it. Although there was an interesting development throughout the week with one of their key players, which we'll talk about. But we'll start with the outside linebacker, Randy Ramsey, who is not going to play. He's ruled out for this week. Ramsey was the final outside linebacker kept on the roster in favor of Tim Williams, who I think many of us had penciled in as the fourth guy. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong. Williams was your fourth guy, wasn't he?
Well, fifth guy.
Fifth guy. Oh, that's right. You kept five. But Ramsey wasn't on it.
No, I had Williams over Ramsey. Just from what again, Ramsey must have outplayed Williams in the short, training camp that the Packers had. He was hurt. So him being out is not a surprise to anyone. He had been injured. But the Packers must like this guy to keep him being hurt. They knew other teams liked him as well, and they were afraid to, because they could have easily cut him, put him on a practice squad like they did with a bunch of other guys that we kind of liked. They see upside and Randy Ramsey. But him being out this week, I don't think is a big deal, because I think even if he was healthy, he would have been a healthy inactive, especially this early in the season. Now, by the end of the year, maybe that upside starts to come to fruition, and maybe he is dressing for games and playing some special teams and maybe even getting a couple snaps on the defense. But right now, A, he's got to get healthy, and B, I think he's more of a down-the-road guy anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is because I don't know as much about him as was I downplaying him too much in my mind, and in the sense that I have always kind of thought of him as the guy that was probably going to be inactive more often than not. I don't know if you could get to the same level as I'm blanking on the wide receiver last
Ryan
year.
Grant.
Ryan Grant that was inactive every week, and you're just like, is this guy ever going to play? But yeah, Ramsey seems like a depth guy, but good point. By the end of the season, and especially if injuries take their toll,
somewhere else, right?
You don't want to see that in the edge position with the Packers, as key as Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary are. Obviously, if either any of those three guys get hurt, then no matter what you do, it's going to be a huge blow to the defense. But Ramsey will not play this weekend. Also on the injury report, and Mark, I saved this one. I want to be very delicate with it because I know that I know that it's very, very near and dear to your heart. Montrevious Adams, the big defensive lineman, is doubtful. He, I think, tried to practice this week. I could be wrong. Maybe he didn't. But Montrevious Adams is doubtful, which means there's a good chance he's not going to play this weekend. What a bummer to the defensive line rotation. Well, and in all seriousness, since I know that, you know, we're tongue-in-cheek here because we're not big members of the Montrevious Adams fan club, but for him to rotate in, let's say the Packers get off to a big lead and to not have a guy to rotate in or have one less guy to rotate in there, it's only week one. You can't claim exhaustion and being tired yet, especially as little as these guys have done so far. But you do want to try to spare some of your guys like Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry and such. So that's more of where I see the issue. I hope it's not a blowout in the other direction. That would be bad for us.
No, that would be real bad.
But Montrevious Adams was not going to be counted on to be a big key in this game either.
Well, you know my feelings on Montrevious Adams. I don't think he could have made the team. And that's an indictment of this defensive line is not as good as I thought or hoped it was going to be. I mean, I was hoping Trayvon Hester was going to make the team and be a good rotational guy, but he got hurt and he was waived injured. I thought some of your other guys, I thought the kid, the undrafted rookie from Rutgers, Wellington.
Prevalon,
right. Yeah. I mean, I had heard what a good camp he had, and I thought, okay, maybe, you know, maybe he'll be a rotate, but then he's on a practice squad, so there's still hope for him maybe down the road. You know, I'm not an Adams guy. I mean, you say he's doubtful. Yeah, he's doubtful to make a play too.
Have you been holding on to that one this entire time?
A little bit.
Kind of like I do with my zingers.
But here's my thing. Now, they have till Saturday at 4 o'clock to make a move, correct? So they can
right.
They did sign Mack this week, a defensive lineman. I mean, I think it's kind of risky to go into a game with just four defensive linemen, right? And that's what they'll be doing, though. I mean, Adams is out, so we're doubtful. So they have Clark, Lowry, Lancaster, and Kiki, right? That's it. That's kind of thin.
Yeah.
I guess worst comes to worst, Zadarius will put his hand down at times, but still, I wouldn't be surprised if they – and they have an open roster spot. They only have 52 guys on the roster. So it wouldn't shock me in the least if Mack, who people thought when all the stories this week, the guys that covered the team kind of got fooled a little bit this week. Early in the middle of the week, it was reported that Mack was signed to the roster and he was going to be on the 53. And then the Packers announced that, no, we've signed him to our practice squad. But maybe the writers will be right as it turns, you know, if they do promote him later today. But we'll see. I mean, I just think that they're awfully thin on the defensive line right now.
You would think that they'd go with somebody that they in-house if they're going to bring somebody up to fill that spot rather than sign a guy. And there's going to be a faction of those out there, too, that are hoping that roster spot is going to somehow turn into Jared Valdir. You know, there's a player every year that the fans just – They think the team is just holding out for, you know, that they're going to sign. I don't have any recent examples, but there's a couple this year. You got Tremon Williams, Jared Valdir. It's like I worked in the hotel industry for Clay Matthews. That was interesting. Clay threw a zinger at Adam Schefter on Twitter.
Yes, he did.
Schefter claimed that the Broncos were talking to Clay Matthews and that Matthews said that he wasn't going to play this year or something along those lines. And Clay tweeted back and said, that's not what happened at all. We didn't come to an agreement.
But
and
I want to play.
So, yeah, right. So
here's the thing that a lot of people might not know. See, if you sign a guy, any team, Packers, anybody, if you sign a veteran this week and he's on your opening and he plays opening day, his salary is guaranteed
for the whole year.
Now, if you wait a week, like, let's say the Packers do sign Velde or Tremon or Clay or anybody, Snacks Harrison, I don't care. If they sign a guy on Monday, it's not then he's on a game-to-game basis. I mean, he could play 4 weeks, and you cut him after four, and you don't owe him a dime. So that's why a lot of teams, you'll see a lot of signings around the league on Monday or Tuesday of this coming week.
Yeah, is it instantaneous at the beginning of week two? So there's no additional grace period there? It's literally just get through week one and then you're good?
Yep. If you're on the way the CBA stands, like I'm not reading it verbatim, but in layman's terms, if you're on the opening day roster, your salary is guaranteed for the year. So, you know, if the Packers cut Montrevious Adams, let's just use him as an example. If they cut him next week, he's still getting paid whatever his base salary was for 2020.
Right.
But if they sign a guy on Monday or Tuesday of next week, like I said, if he plays 3 games, 4 games, 2 games, 1, whatever it is, and they say he's not the guy that we thought he was and we cut him, he doesn't get paid. He only gets paid to get them for the games that he played. He was on the roster. He doesn't actually have to play, but as long as he's on the roster.
Right.
So that's why you'll see some veterans. I think you'll see a lot of veterans sign Monday and Tuesday.
And this season, especially with all the weirdness.
Yes.
I think you'll see roster maneuvering going on throughout the entire season.
Just the fact that the practice squads have been expanded to 16 and there's no restrictions on who go. The Eagles have 41-year-old Josh McCown on their practice.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he's not even with the and he's in Texas. He's playing for the Eagles, but he's living in Texas. Or not playing. He's getting paid by the Eagles to be on their practice squad, and he's living in Texas.
Right.
I actually texted my old boss and said, "Hey, if the Eagles could have a player if they have a player on their practice squad living in Texas, can't you have a writer on your staff living in South Carolina? If a player doesn't have to be there, the writer shouldn't have to be there, right?"
Yeah.
I don't want to go back. Believe me,
the rules for the players and the writers should absolutely be the same. It's a very similar type of a role. I'm sure you felt like it on certain days, you know.
Our schedules were the same.
I think about it now. And I do look at it differently now that I've had the insights that you've shared and several other colleagues who have covered the team have shared, to where you watch an exciting game, and I do a post-game recap as well. And I've gotten caught trying to write the thing, and my entire introduction and the air of what I wrote has to change completely because a big comeback win happens or you go to overtime. Overtime's got to be the worst, isn't it, Mark? Because can you even write the lead? It's like you have to wait until
right over. Well, overtime night games or it does shoot me
right because your deadline is still. What was the deadline?
Oh well, at the end. Well, I was lucky early in my career. Our deadlines were pretty good, pretty late. So I was never. Well, Monday night you were still. Monday night was always a pain. But during the normal, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or noon, 3 o'clock for people in Green Bay, it wasn't a problem. But then toward the end, got silly. It got ridiculously early. And then my job at the end for NJ.com is similar to what I write for Packer Report now. My boss wanted me to hit. He wanted me hitting send when the clock hit 0:00. So
at midnight.
That was it. No, 1 o'clock doesn't matter. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it didn't matter. When the clocks hit, when he wanted me to send my and my story was the same kind of story.
Oh, at the end, out, yeah.
Just 10 takeaways or 10, thoughts on the game. So I could do that during the game. Like, it doesn't matter who won or lost. If I thought, pick a guy, Lane Johnson was having a great game at right tackle. I would write and was holding off whoever the pass rusher on the other team was. That would be one of my notes, or vice versa. If I thought that a guy was having a terrible game, I could still, so it wasn't winning or losing. I wasn't writing like the game story. I was writing an analysis piece. So again, you still want to know who wins or loses, but it wasn't quite the same. But yeah, I mean, back in the day, writing a game story, and, it comes down to the last second or overtime, like you said. Although overtime sometimes is better than a team winning on the last play of the game. At least overtime, you're braced and you have a little time to, you know, get, I would write two stories sometimes. Like I'd have my whole story done, and I would write two tops, one would they win, one would they lose, and then just pick, hopefully pick the right one and send it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. And we got here.
Then, you know, like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, we got here. Kind of, it's an interesting conversation. I feel like this is one we're going to have a couple times this season as the Packers add guys and guys get hurt. And fortunately, I haven't heard a lot. I'm kind of knocking on the proverbial wood right now about these positive COVID tests. That's the one thing you don't want to hear about. It's the last thing I want to hear about is the Packers touch down in Minneapolis and Aaron Rodgers gets dinged with a positive test for COVID. I don't want to hear those types of things. And, but it's going to stress the personnel guys this season or the GMs, because you got to have a contingency for the contingency.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, yeah, this is a different. The whole league's different. And this year is going to be weird. It's just going to be a weird year.
Or the NFL is going to lead the charge, and there's going to be very few positive tests, and much like how Rudy Gobert and the NBA sent everything into a frenzy back when this whole thing started, the NFL is going to be the entity that shows that, hey, this thing can be managed and maybe it's not that bad.
Well, hopefully. But again, and you know, I don't want to downplay it, but like not Aaron Rodgers, hopefully, or anybody. I don't want anybody to get it. But I mean, you know, if it's a backup linebacker, it's still a guy. And it's still, you're still going to, it's going to create a stir. Now, if it's a star, then it's really going to throw things out of whack. But hopefully, like you said, yeah, hopefully we won't even have, you know, we'll talk about it, but it'll never actually happen. That's, you know, that's my hope.
Well, on that note, it's funny because when I was looking at I was doing the Twitter refresh thing today, the thing you love, Mark, that's more of a training camp thing, you know, where I was trying to get the updates and the news and what's going on. So you do the Twitter refresh thing. You've got pivotal days during the week where you know that big stories are going to come out. The first injury report comes out Wednesday. Monday is an injury update. Friday is your final injury report. So some of that stuff. So I'm refreshing to try to figure out what the injury situation is. And I see Turner and Adams questionable. And all it said was Adams. And I jumped into there as fast as I possibly could and was relieved to see. No disrespect to Montrevious. I'm sure he would like for his toe to be feeling better or whatever ailment he's dealing with this time. But I'm glad it's not Devontae Adams. So I mentioned Turner. So that would be Billy. Yes. That would be Billy Turner. And man, could you imagine if they'd kept Malik Turner? You had all these Turners and Taylors on the team. So Billy Turner did, I think, try to practice at some point this week, but he didn't practice on Friday and he's doubtful. So there's a very good chance Billy Turner's not going to play in this game. So it looks like it's going to be, unless you have a different theory, Mark, Lane Taylor in for Billy Turner at right guard. And Rick Wagner will be at right tackle, although I say in for Billy Turner at right guard, not necessarily knowing if when he comes back, if they don't plan on playing Billy Turner at right tackle and having Rick Wagner be the backup.
That's the plan. Yeah, no, that's the plan. Lane Taylor is your starting right guard.
Turner's your tackle and Wagner is your number two.
Backup. Yeah, Wagner's the sixth man, basically. But I don't know. LaFleur would not say who's going to – he said he's not saying who's going to be at right tackle until game time. That could mean that maybe Turner surprises everyone and plays. It might be Wagner. I'm telling you right now, don't text me and say, oh, my God, I can't believe this, because I'm telling you it could happen. Elton Jenkins could be your right tackle.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Elton Jenkins could start at right tackle Sunday and Lucas Patrick start at left guard.
So for those of you out there that want to know what's motivating this conversation, a couple weeks ago when Kamal Martin, before he was hurt, was making waves in practice and was taking reps with the ones, somehow that got reported, even though we're not supposed to know those things because the media is not allowed to talk about it. They absolutely shouldn't be surprised Matt LaFleur doesn't want it to say anything. They won't even let the reporters report what's happening in practice. But apparently we had a healthy debate over how newsworthy it was that Kamal Martin was taking reps
I didn't question the news. I just wasn't surprised because I was telling you all along that Kamal Martin was going to start it.
Right. Right. And hopefully, injured reserve this year is 3 weeks.
Yeah. Which is nothing compared to what it used to be. At one time it was, you're done. And they eased it up to eight. It was 8 weeks. And now it's only three. So my guess, though, and again, this is just a speculative guess. I think Martin will be out to the bye. I think he'll come back after the bye.
Well, they said it was a 6 to 8 week injury, so I think you're probably right. That time frame seems to work out. Although the bye week is
the fifth week, right?
It's only about a month away.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know, because you don't want to rush back and then get injured again. And we've seen that happen too many times, where a guy tries to come back too soon, and then he winds up, you know, either missing more time or just not playing well because he's done 100%. And that's a shame, because I think that's a really bad loss. I mean, I just think he showed how good he was. They loved what he was doing. And he's young. I mean, he's the kind of guy that needed to play. I mean, him missing a month, you know, he's just going to be set back so much too, you know?
Well, it's a huge loss, because he was a guy that was going to get on the field and play if Christian Kirksey either was coming out or in or next to. Oren Burks is not a guy that the Packers apparently want to put on the field next to Christian Kirksey. And so now you've gone from a guy that you absolutely want to play and you're giving every opportunity to start to a guy that you hope doesn't play anything beyond special teams, which is not great. I'm only disappointed, not because I'm surprised, but because he's a third round pick, and I know that they got it wrong and they miss every once in a while on picks, but I have a hard time getting over these early picks that don't pan out.
There's been more than a couple lately. So
Quentin Rollins and just some head scratch. You know, it's just some head scratch. It's like, listen, when Ted Thompson was the GM, he was so good at finding these second round wide receivers. It's like, Ted, I don't care how many receivers the Packers have. When it's the second round, don't even bother trying to draft another position. Just pick a receiver and call it a day, because that's the only thing that seemed to work. But
and to Ted's credit, I mean, I'm going to give Ted some credit too. He found a lot of good offensive linemen in the middle
rounds. Middle rounds, yep.
Bakhtiari, Lindsley,
Sitton, Lang.
Lang. That's four very good, very, very good offensive linemen.
Yep.
All taken in rounds, what, 4 and 5?
Mm-hmm.
Even Jason Treader, you know, he's still a pretty good player for the Browns, taken in the middle round.
The head of the players' union.
Yeah.
The players' rather.
So, I mean, you know, it's, and again, when you make a mistake, like, if, and then again, I don't, you know, maybe the light bulb comes on for Oren Burks this year. Who knows? I don't want him, he's still young enough that I'm not going to totally give up on him, but thus far we haven't seen much. But you can, you know, so he was a third round pick that hasn't lived up to third round status. But if Kamal Martin was going to come in and start as a rookie fifth round pick, that kind of makes up for it a little bit, you know?
Right. But the law of averages kind of helps you there, because he was a later round.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, and the draft, I'm not bagging on Goody or Ted Thompson. Ted brought a championship to Green Bay. I don't care how you want to slice and dice it.
Ted was very good.
Ted brought a championship, I know you're on board. But no,
I'm not ripping Ted. Ted, toward the end, he got a little older and maybe wasn't as good as he was. But the guy drafted Aaron Rodgers, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and a bunch of other guys, too.
Matthews, traded up to get Clay Matthews. A guy that never traded, right?
Yeah.
Well, he traded up to get Clay Matthews. That turned out pretty well.
Well, when you've been doing it for a long time, part of it is just things change. Player types change, offenses, defenses change, what you're looking for is different. And Ted, I don't say what you will about Ted Thompson. He was always an old school football guy. He always thought about football in terms of when he played, and that's how he scouted, and that's why he found all these undrafted free agents from these crazy universities, because that's who he was. He related to that, and he found value in giving a guy a chance and having him earn an opportunity and earn your keep in the NFL. So,
yeah, you know where they went bad at the end, in my opinion, with Ted, was he fell in love, and again, I know this is your conference a little bit, but he kind of fell in love with the Pac-12 too much.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah,
I mean, I think there was a string of what, 5 or 6 straight years where their number one pick came from the Pac-12. Now Kenny Clark was a great one, but the rest of them not so much. Dante Jones, Nick Perry, Randall, they're all Pac-12 guys.
Right. Well, Sam Seal was the West Coast scout
right
for the Packers for a long time, and
he had Ted's ear.
He really did, and they hit on a couple of picks. And look, he gets slammed for the Demaryius Randall pick. Demaryius Randall, I wouldn't say Demaryius Randall didn't work out. He actually played some pretty good football for the Packers for a couple seasons, at least 15 and 16. 15 and 16 were not a bust. He seals off the win against the Chargers in 2015 with that last pass breakup at the end of the game. And in 2016, he played okay. He wasn't bad. He had a nice game against the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. I was at that one. He picked off a ball. He had a big pick against the Cowboys early in 2017 before Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And then he was pouting on the sidelines. He turned into a pain in the butt. And now he's not even playing. The Raiders cut him.
No, he's out of the league. Right. Yep.
The Raiders cut him. The Browns cut him. When you don't get brought back to the Cleveland Browns, right? Can we still make that joke?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see after this.
And then, the Raiders aren't going to the Super Bowl this year either. Sometimes it's not about your ability; it's your whole makeup. And Randall just wasn't made up real well.
Yeah, well, I've talked about what's between the ears many, many times.
Yep.
And I'm not saying Demaryius Randall's not a smart football player, but he definitely has handled himself has not used some discretion at times when he could have. So, and this is the beauty of what happens when you've got a short injury report is we get to kind of go off on these on these trails. Because
I think we covered the injuries.
Well, the only other player we didn't talk about was Raven Green. Raven Green is listed as questionable. Oh, and the issue with questionable is that there is no probable anymore.
Right.
So whether or not we see Raven Green is questionable, literally, according to the.
But I think according to the report, but I've read some things and talked some he's. All indications are to agree. He did practice Friday. I don't know why they got rid of probable, because I think if there was still a probable, he would be listed as probable. Unless he has a setback on the flight, you know, or whatever, I think he'll play.
It was messing too much with the betting lines.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm being serious there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what it was. Somehow... probable, and then if you had a probable player who just all of a sudden couldn't suit up on Sunday, and it impacted one too many games too many dollars. I don't know. I'm not a gambler, so I don't. But
that makes more sense than anything. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's what some of it was. The Vikings, like I said, the Vikings actually have a clean injury report, but then they don't really, because earlier this week they put Danielle Hunter, their star defensive end, on injured reserve. Now again, injured reserve is a 3-week situation this season if it's not necessarily that bad and the team wants to do something with a roster spot, but it's a neck injury and that's not any small thing. So I thought I heard some rumblings, and I know that your colleague over Packer Report, Peter Bukowski, when he did Locked On earlier this week, did a crossover episode. And I think the guy that was talking about the Vikings said it's very likely to be longer than that. But Danielle Hunter being out is very significant, especially when Rick Wagner is going to be your starting right tackle and Billy Turner is not going to play this week.
Well, the Packers right tackle. Billy, let's not confuse Billy Turner with Brian Bulaga.
Brian Bulaga, right?
I mean, the Packers are hurting at right tackle, no matter who plays there. But if they have to go, yeah, Hunter. I mean, he's a good player. He's a very good player. And you don't like to lose good players, and that's a setback for the Minnesota Vikings, without a doubt. Not just this week, but every week that he misses, that's one of their better players not in uniform. So, they're lucky that they did make the trade for what's his name,
Lane Taylor.
Yeah,
so Lane Taylor. Well, and you mentioned Elgton Jenkins. Billy Turner's injury is not long term, but I rarely see guys go from doubtful to playing. It's happened.
You're right.
It's happened, but it's very rare. But if you get a long term injury to either Lane Taylor or Billy Turner, Jared Valdir is either on speed dial, or Elgton Jenkins is potentially moving out to right tackle. Because if I'm Matt LaFleur and I've got a chance to win this season, because you do. You've got Aaron Rodgers. He's still a good quarterback, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the offense is supposed to be better. I know there's a lot to be discovered yet. I know these are all projections. We don't know what it's going to look like. Hopefully we have more answers a week from now than we do today. But you got to put your best players in the most critical spots. And I don't care how unfamiliar Elgton Jenkins is with playing right tackle. He's a stud offensive lineman, and he did a hell of a job last season. You're suiting up at right tackle and go out there and do it, right? I say that with, do you remember that game in 2015 where Josh Sitton lined up at left tackle and it was a disaster? Was that the Bears game on Thanksgiving?
Would have been Lions on Thanksgiving.
I think it was, in 2015 it was the Bears, because that was the night they honored.
Oh, the night game when they honored Favre.
That was the night that they honored Favre. Yeah, they honored Favre and Bart Starr was in the house. And they lost. It was one of the few times the Packers lost to Jay Cutler when Aaron Rodgers started and finished a game.
That was a bad one, but I can give you one where they – do you remember a couple years ago against the Cowboys where Lane Taylor had to play left tackle?
Yep.
And I forget who played right tackle. It was a makeshift offensive line, and I thought, oh, my God, this is not going to look – and they played great.
Was that 2017?
Yes, I believe it was.
That was Demarius Randall had a pick in that game, and the Packers ended up winning it. Late touchdown from Rodgers to Adams. That was the week.
And that was a good Cowboy team, I think.
It was. That was the week. Well, that was the rematch from the Jared Cook 2016 Divisional Championship game when the Cowboys were the one seed. And the following week, that was the last game Aaron Rodgers played before he got his collarbone broken again. Because the following week, they were in Minnesota, and we all know what happened then.
Yeah, and the Packers were what? They were playing well.
4-1.
They were playing well. Yeah. So, but again, that was a makeshift line. And again, I don't want to live with that all year, but it can, you can put guys out there for a game and they do okay. So we'll see what happens Sunday, who plays where. And, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Well, as far as the Vikings go, it's not injuries, but they've got so many changes. They've got so many new players on defense because of all the players that are gone. Xavier Rhodes is gone. Mackenzie Alexander is gone. Then on the offensive side, Stephon Diggs, Laquan Treadwell aren't there anymore. Those are just a couple of the names. There's a bunch of guys that aren't there anymore. That secondary, I mean, look, I don't care if it's Xavier Rhodes when he was good. You got to cover Davante Adams. Now they're going to be asking Mike Hughes, coming off a big injury, to cover Davante Adams. Davante Adams could potentially have himself a nice little day on Sunday.
I think he will. I mean, I don't like the Vikings, so I'm not real objective here, maybe. I try to be as objective as I can, but I don't like them. People are picking them to win a division. People pick them to go for – I think they underwent – they're young. They're young and untested, and this isn't a good year to be young and untested because you didn't do anything in camp or preseason. So – very few rookies are going to make a big impact this year. I don't believe many at all are.
Yeah, the Vikings are getting a lot of love, and in fact, this doesn't mean a whole lot either, but on ESPN, they post the game picks every week, and it was split 5-5, Vikings and Packers.
No, the Vikings are home, so I guess that's part of it, and they are a slight favorite. But I'm not even just talking about this week's game. I'm talking about people picking the Vikings to – win 11, 12 games. I don't see it.
There's a lot that are bullish on them, but we'll find out how good
again,
they are.
Maybe I'm wrong because I do have a little bit of a blind spot because I dislike the Vikings more than I dislike the Bears. That's just me.
You are not alone.
Oh, you really? You agree?
Oh, 100%. I might even dislike the Lions more than I dislike, because the Bears have been such a non-factor for the Packers for so long. The Lions creep in there every once in a while. It's like, I'll forgive a loss to the Bears, even if they're bad team, just because historically they've been good. The Lions have been garbage for so long that when you lose to them ever, it's unforgivable.
And the Packers lost 4 in a row to them.
I'm aware. I'm also...
But like when the Bears play the Vikings, I root for the Bears.
Yes.
If I have to. I root for a tie.
Well, I root for whichever team is lower in the standings.
Well, yeah. But I meant like if they were playing a playoff game or whatever, I would root for the Bears.
Let them kill off each other. So, but what's going on this week over at Packer Report? I know we're into the regular season, so what are we going to what are we going to get from you this season at Packer Report?
Well, I'll do my immediate reaction piece right after the game. I'll be posting, you know, 10 thought, you know, an analysis of what of the game, like 10 thoughts off the game. And then Thursdays, I do like a throwback piece. This past week, I did memorable season openers for the Packer, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers' comeback over the Bears was number one when it looked like he was out for a year and he came back in and threw 3 fourth-quarter touchdown passes.
With a broken knee.
Yeah.
I guess you and I should compare notes then, because I'm doing an instant reaction piece over Game on Wisconsin, so that'll be coming up after the game as well. And we've got Pulse of the Pack on Saturday. Well, like that's later today. Pulse of the Pack is there to preview, and then we'll have some roundtable discussion after the game and some good stuff over there as well. So it's been a good one, Mark. Next week we're back. Cool. We'll be back to talk about the home opener for the Packers when they take on the Detroit Lions.
There you go. Your team, another team you don't like.
Another team I'm not a huge fan of, especially don't like their kicker. So that's a whole other story I'll save for next week. Everybody, enjoy Packers football. We're finally there. It is so fantastic to have the green and yellow out there on the field doing what they do, which is hopefully beating the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and go Pack, go.